إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, in the 70s and 80s, the airline industry was going through a very difficult time, and all airlines made huge losses all over Europe, except one, and that airline was SAS, Scandinavian Airlines. And the reason Scandinavian Airlines made a profit when everybody else was making a loss in a downturn in the market, despite that, was because of the successes attributed to their CEO, a guy by the name of Jan Carlson. And Jan Carlson, he created a strategy for the airline where he, in the process of that, and that's a long corporate story which I won't go into now, but the key point that I want to make, he coined a phrase called the moment of truth. That's a common phrase in the English language, but he defined the moment of truth in terms of efficiency and customer service. And the proof of the pudding is in the eating. And the proof of his definition was that when Scandinavian Airlines was able to implement this, they made a big profit at a time when every other airline was making a huge loss. Jan Carlson's definition of the moment of truth. He said a moment of truth is that moment when any customer or potential customer, which means everyone and his wife. He said the moment of truth is that moment when a customer or a potential customer comes into contact with any aspect of your business and has the opportunity to form an opinion. I'll repeat that. A moment of truth is that moment when a customer or a potential customer has the opportunity, comes into contact with any aspect of your business and has the opportunity to form an opinion. And he said that if you can handle those moments of truth correctly, meaning that any customer or potential customer, when he comes into contact with any aspect of your business and has the opportunity to form an opinion, he always forms a positive opinion because of what you have done. That's the meaning of handling of moments of truth. So he said, if you can do that, then you will be successful. And as I said, it's not just a matter of stating something, it's a matter of proving that, and the man proved it by the financial figures of his company. Now, the reason I'm saying that is that is also the defining point of us as being Muslims. So let us look at our lives and say that when a customer or a potential customer, who is that? Anyone, the whole world. When a customer or a potential customer comes into contact with any aspect of my life as a Muslim, any aspect, whether I'm driving on the street, when I'm walking on the street, when I'm dealing with a customer or a shopkeeper, when I'm in my school or my business or my office or my home or wherever, I'm in the airport, I'm traveling somewhere, I'm sitting in the lounge, whatever it is. As a Muslim, when my customer or potential customer, which means the rest of the world population, if they come into contact with any aspect of my life and have the opportunity to form an opinion, what kind of opinion are they forming? If we are conscious of this, that is the most powerful dawah. It's the most powerful dawah that every time a person comes into contact with any aspect of a Muslim's life, he or she forms always a positive opinion. I don't want to say does it happen or does it not happen. We know exactly what the answer to those questions is. But the point is that can we make it happen? The answer is yes. If Jan Carlson could do it, and he's not, you're not talking about one man, he turned around the whole company based on this. Why can't you do it, why can't I do it? And we're not talking about changing others, we're talking about changing ourselves. And this is one of the issues that we have even with regard to Dawah, is that we have become an ummah of people who talk. So even in terms of Dawah, we go around telling people, this is what the Quran says, this is what Rasulullah said. People are not interested in that. People are not interested in what the Quran said. They are not interested in what Rasulullah said. They are interested in their experience with you as a human being. They are interested in what you are saying. They are interested in what happens to them when they meet you. That is of interest to them, not something that comes from history or comes from the past or comes from a sacred text. That is secondary for them, for a non-Muslim especially. What does he care what the Quran says? But what they do care about is their experience with you and with me, and what is that experience? Do I have control on that experience? And that is the sum total of what I want to say with regard to this moment of truth, to say, how are we handling our moments of truth? And then of course the final moment of truth is when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the second aspect of moments of truth. One is the dawah aspect of it. The second aspect of moments of truth is what happens when we, two parts of it. One, what happens when we are at decision points, meaning that in our lives there are issues and there are matters that come up where we have to take a decision. What do we do there? Do we give precedence to the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the sunnah of Rasulullah, or do we take decisions which are against the Quran and sunnah? What do we do? So that's a moment of truth. Every such moment is a moment of truth. Every time you want to light a cigarette is a moment of truth. Every time you want to tell a lie is a moment of truth. Any time you want to talk about somebody, it's a moment of truth. So it doesn't have to be some colossal thing of global significance. It's simple things. But all of those simple things add up to something else. Every time there is an opportunity to say, should I pray in the masjid or should I pray at home, is a moment of truth. You feel tired? Yes, of course. Everybody feels tired. Question is, what do you do then? So every time that there is a decision point is a moment of truth. And then there is the moment of truth with regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the meeting with Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to deal with our moments of truth in such a way that we stand for haqq, that we present Islam in the best possible way, to present people in marketing and advertising, not all of them, but many of them, they excel at presenting something which is inferior as if it is superior. I mean, for example, if you look at, on holidays, if you look at photographs of hotels, you know, it looks like absolutely out of the world, you know, straight from Jannah kind of place. But when you go there, sometimes you get a bad shock and you realize that the photographs are the creation of the photographer and Photoshop. The actual reality is not like that. So people excel at presenting something which is inferior in a superior way. We have something which is superior, which is Islam, which is the most superior thing. We don't have to do anything, right? All we have to do is don't ruin it. That's the main thing. Don't spoil it, because it is already superior. Just give it as it is. And the way to give it as it is to give it by practice. That is the whole thing. The whole thing is to not to tell people to do something, but to do it ourselves. And that's the biggest proof. If you really like something, how come you don't do it yourself? And that's the main question in the minds of people. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to practice our religion in a way which is a source of khair and barakah for ourselves and for those who come into contact with us, and to deal with our moments of truth in a way where anytime anybody has the chance of coming into contact with any aspect of our lives and have an opportunity to make, to form an opinion, that this opinion is always positive in favor of us and in favor of Islam. We ask Allah to make this a means of da'wah for us, for ourselves, and a means of barakah for us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.